Daniel on the Saints and the Last Battle. We were reading in Daniel 2, and we finished last time identifying the fifth, or the Stone Kingdom, as the United States of America, set up in the days of those kings, according to Daniel 2, verses 44 and 45. And in the days of these kings, or the margin there said it could be translated, and in their days shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. If America is the fifth kingdom, the stone kingdom, the New Jerusalem, if you please, then its destiny is to destroy all of the other beasts or monarchical systems in the world. And then we read in the last part of verse 35 of that same chapter, the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And in verse 44, it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So sometime before God's kingdom is established over all of the earth, this stone, which would be part of the earth, would destroy all of the other anti-God systems of the world, and then after that, it would grow and fill the whole earth. Now, it has to be an Israelite kingdom, because it says in that verse 44 that it shall not be left to other people. This must be a restored kingdom to the house of Israel, the one the disciples were thinking of when they asked Jesus Christ, "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to the house of Israel?" I'll also remind you what Jesus said to the Jewish Pharisees in Matthew 21, verses 43 and 44. "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bring forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, and whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Now turn with me back to the prophet Zechariah, near the very end of the Old Testament. And this is an end-time prophecy, as we can tell from the context. But it begins chapter 12 this way. "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundations of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, and they shall be in the siege against both Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." So here is a prophecy of Jerusalem being a stone. This kingdom here in America, which rose in the days of those kings, of course, has all of the earth being gathered against this white Anglo-Saxon nation here on this North American continent. In spite of everything that the communists might do in other parts of the world, if you watch their actions and their words, their claims, and their goals, they have one goal: the destruction of the United States of America. Every other country they conquer is but a stepping stone on their drive to conquer and destroy the United States of America. And yet we see that this fifth kingdom, which was to rise in the days of the kings of the fourth kingdom, is eventually to be the destructive power that will destroy all Antichrist rule. Now the saints, of course, in this last battle will be in that kingdom. Obviously, the saints will be involved in the battle. They'll be in the stone kingdom in the battle. Now, so far we have read nothing in Daniel 2 of the saints going AWOL, or over the hill, for 7 years during battle, or being deserters in the army of the Lord. And most ministers will concede that there is no so-called pre-tribulation rapture taught in the second chapter of Daniel. So now let's go on with some more of Daniel. Turn to chapter 7, And we'll follow through with another one of these rather strange and fascinating visions or dreams. Now, there are other visions or dreams in Daniel 4 and Daniel 5, but if you'll read those, you see they have specifically to do with Babylon at the time Daniel was there. One of them, of course, prophesied Babylon falling to the Medes, which did happen while Daniel was there. But starting in Daniel 7, here is another dream. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, and this would be the third, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now before we read on in this chapter, let's turn on to verse 15 through 17. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So here we have four kings, or four kingdoms, portrayed in this vision or dream, the same as the image in Daniel 2 that Nebuchadnezzar had. There were four kingdoms before mention was made of the fifth one, when the saints would then possess the kingdom, and it would last forever. Again, these can be identified. Let's go back to verse 4. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Now this tells us several things. For one thing, ancient Babylon's gates were all guarded by massive statues of lions with wings. The lion with the wings was the symbol of ancient Babylon. So this first beast must be the same as the head of gold of Daniel 2. It would be Babylon. Notice also that its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and that Daniel, too, was a man standing upon its feet. Now remember as I read all of these that according to Daniel 2, the entire beast system existed and continued. Although one kingdom devoured the previous ones, according to the images and the interpretation thereof, all the beast kingdoms continued right on to the end of the age. So if the first kingdom is wings are plucked, in other words, it's conquered, but it stands on its feet, then it becomes what? It becomes the head again, just as the head of gold was in Daniel 2. But the wings and the lion identify it as Babylon. Verse 5, And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. We know from history, and of course from Daniel 2, that after the Babylon reached its power, it was conquered by the Medes, and then the Persians, becoming what we know in history as the Medo-Persian Empire. The Medo-Persian Empire after it overran Babylon, also continued on south and conquered Egypt and Libya. And very probably the three ribs in its teeth is Babylon, Egypt, and Libya. Now, if you'll turn with me to Jeremiah 42, we'll find a rather strange thing in here. God actually foretold the conquest of Egypt by something other than Babylon. We would accept it then as being Medo-Persia. But anyway, Jeremiah 42 is Jeremiah coming to the Israel people as Babylon was conquering Palestine. So Babylon was at its height of power. Jeremiah 42, verses 15 through 17. And now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. If ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt, and go to sojourn there, God is warning them through Israel. In the previous chapters we find that Judahites came to Jeremiah and said they were going to escape Babylon by going into Egypt. God is telling them, no, you be careful. If you go there, then it shall come to pass that the sword, in other words, war, which ye feared, shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof ye were afraid shall follow close after you in Egypt, and there ye shall die. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. Then he goes right on in the next chapters and warns them the same thing in Jeremiah 44, starting in verse 11. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil and to cut off all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least even to the greatest, and so on. So he was warning them that if you flee to Egypt, you're still going to be conquered by war and by famine. And then in verse 28, yet a small number that escaped the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know these words shall stand, mine or theirs. Verse 30, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies, and into the hand of them that seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy, and that sought his life. In other words, he did not say, I will give Egypt and the Judah people in Egypt into the hand of Babylon. He said, I will give them into the hand of their enemies as I gave the king of Judah into the hand of Babylon. Now turn with me over to Isaiah 43, because there we see God telling Israel that God gave nations for Israel's ransom. Very strange. Most people do not know the kind of God that Israel has. Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. In other words, God gave to the Medo-Persian Empire Egypt for Israel's ransom. Now remember, it was the Medo-Persian Empire under Cyrus and Darius that gave Israel, or rather Judah, their freedom to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple and the city. So God gave the Medo-Persian Empire Egypt, literally, as ransom for releasing Judah from Babylon. Now you think on that. God gave nations for the ransom of Israel. And you think on that principle when you think of God's deliverance of his kingdom people in the end of this age. And we'll discuss that a little more. Ransom for releasing Judah to go back to Jerusalem and rebuilding the city. All right, back to Daniel 7. Verse 6. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. So in each case, these are successive kingdoms, and this must, again, as in Daniel 2, be the Greek Empire, because it was Alexander the Great of Greece who conquered the Medo-Persian Empire. And strangely enough, but not so strangely for those of us who believe that God knows the end from the beginning, Alexander the Great died at about the age of 35 at the very height of his kingdom. He had conquered all of what had been the Medo-Persian Empire, including all of Babylon and all of Egypt and so on, and he suddenly died. His empire had four generals. It was divided into four parts, and when he passed away, suddenly, his four generals proclaimed themselves the rulers in each part of the four parts of the Grecian Empire, and they ruled. And here, long before that, long centuries before that, Daniel saw in vision this third kingdom as a beast that had four heads. The Grecian Empire had four heads. Verse 7. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now again, we have a kingdom with iron teeth. Remember, the fourth kingdom of Daniel 2 was a kingdom of iron. It had 10 toes. This one has 10 horns. So this must be the kingdom which rose after Greece, or what we would know as the Roman kingdom, the Roman Empire. Verse 8. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now notice he says, I considered the horns. So I would say that this also fits Daniel 2, because although the beast is there, the great empire with iron teeth, it is the horns which Daniel is telling about. It is the horns which carry out much of the history of this empire, just as the 10 toes carried out much of the history of the iron empire of Daniel 2. They are apparently at least that important. Now, we know this must fit the Holy Roman Empire again with its 10 kingdoms coming out of pagan Rome. Turn with me over to Revelation 17. I won't take time to make a definite comparison with Revelation 17 to this, but you should read the entire chapter. In verse 3, John sees the vision. The angel carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. So here is a beast with 10 horns in Revelation 17. Verse 12, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So in Revelation 17, we have a vision of the great end-time world Antichrist empire, which is made up of 10 kings. Here we have the fourth kingdom, the one that precedes the fifth kingdom, as having 10 horns, and apparently there are also 10 kingdoms. Verse 9, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Now some mistake the meaning of this and the subsequent verses as referring to the return of Christ. They say the Ancient of Days did sit, and of course this would follow this fourth empire. And they say that's the return of Christ to destroy these beast powers. And it does go on, we'll read on here, verse 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, thousand thousands ministered under him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Now, at this point, the fourth beast kingdom is still there. Now, finally, it is going to be destroyed. I beheld then, because the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. But the rest of this kingdom is not yet destroyed. Verse 12. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time, and then, at least now, we can come to the part where this must be the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Now, that's rather interesting, because it says that this one like unto the Son of Man came to the Ancient of Days. Well, who is this, or what is the Ancient of Days? Verse 14, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So this must then, at that point, be talking about the eternal kingdom ruled by the Christ who comes in verse 13. But he comes to the Ancient of Days. So who is the Ancient of Days? Let's read on. Verse 15, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings or four kingdoms, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So again, let me repeat, that is the same as Daniel 2. Babylon, Medo-Persia, then Greece, then Rome, the fourth empire, and then the fifth kingdom, but of course there is more to that fourth kingdom than just pagan or papal Rome, as you must already have surmised. Verse 19, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast. Now this is the fourth one, which we've said is Rome rising after Greece, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass. And remember, brass was in that original vision in Daniel 2, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. This fourth one did conquer all the previous ones. And the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. Now I should interject here that fundamentalist teaching in the vast majority of the churches today tells us that little horn there is the great Antichrist. Most of you know that. They preach out of Daniel 7, they preach out of other places, and they say, well, out of this fourth kingdom, which they say will be the revised or revitalized Roman Empire, will come the Antichrist, and he's that one little horn that's more stout than his fellows. And they always say, well, that is future, and he will rule the earth after the Christians are raptured for 7 years. But they then never read the next verse, which says, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. So that kind of destroys their false pre-Antichrist rapture doctrine, which so many of them teach. Now, the men of the Protestant Reformation for several hundred years taught that the little horn was papal Rome, rising out of and taking control of the Roman Empire. Now, last week I went into quite a bit of that history to show you that that actually happened, that the Holy Roman Empire, where the popes crowned all the kings of the nations of Europe, came out of pagan Rome, and every king for 1,000 years was crowned by the Pope out of Rome, giving the authority to some extent to this one king who had power over all of the other kings. Now notice verse 21 and 22 again. I beheld, and the same horn, in other words, this one horn, made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So whatever the time element is, this horn, which apparently has more power in the fourth kingdom than other kings, actually prevails or makes war with the saints, prevails against them, but the time of his prevailing against the saints is going to end when the Ancient of Days comes and when judgment is given to the saints. Now, if we think of the Ancient of Days in Daniel 7 as Jesus, as far as I know, the only sermons I have ever heard on Daniel 7 have identified the Ancient of Days as Jesus, then Daniel 7 doesn't fit Daniel 2. But if we think of the Ancient of Days as the kingdom, then Daniel 7 fits Daniel 2. In other words, the fifth kingdom, the stone kingdom, the Ancient of Days comes, and then it begins to break the power of the fourth kingdom. And I think I went all through that last week, that from 1600 to 1800, the papal power over the Anglo-Saxon people was broken in Europe. The very time in the days of those kings when the new kingdom of the Saxon Israel people was set up on this North American continent. So I believe America is the Ancient of Days. And the Ancient of Days is the kingdom, which obviously explains why the Son of Man comes to the Ancient of Days. Daniel 7:22 says that this prevailing against the saints would continue until the Ancient of Days came and the judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Until the kingdom was restored to the house of Israel, the fourth kingdom would have total rule over all of Israel. Now, it did not end exactly when the Ancient of Days was set up, which we'll show you a little further, but for those who think every mention of the word saints in the Scripture means the Christian people, I'd better establish who the saints are. Turn with me all the way back to 2 Chronicles 6. Solomon is praying for Israel, and part of his prayer is this in verse 41. Now therefore arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. He was praying for Israel. He called them saints. Psalm 30 and verse 4 reads, Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Israelites are called saints 20 times in the book of Psalms, including this very plain one in Psalm 148 and verse 14. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. So again, the reference in Daniel 7, that the saints would be given the kingdom, fits exactly what we have been studying in all of this series, that it is the restoration of the kingdom to Israel that was looked forward to by the disciples. It is the restoration of the kingdom to Israel that we are reading about in Daniel 7. Now, I said that the kingdom is the Ancient of Days, and to make this fit the rest of our teaching out of Daniel 2, of course, we would have to say that that Ancient of Days is the United States of America. Well, let's read a little more of that description of this fifth kingdom, called here the Ancient of Days. In verse 9 we read, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow. Now remember, all of the New Testament tells us that a reborn, reconstituted, and spiritual Israel will wear garments of white. This is the garment referred to in Revelation and so on. So this Ancient of Days will have white garments, the hair of his head like the pure wool, which of course would be white. And I know that they have a drawing which they call Uncle Sam, And he's a man with white hair and a white beard. I don't know where that came from. But he has white hair. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels a burning fire. Verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. The Scripture tells us that God's Word is like unto fire, and His ministers are a flaming fire. Current history shows beyond doubt that the United States of America is the source for the rest of the world of God's Word and the preaching of God's Word. In other words, the flame and the fire that comes out of the Ancient of Days is God's Word coming out of America to the rest of the world. No other nation, no other kingdom can make that claim. Thousands ministered unto him. And this is true. Thousands of people willingly serve the United States of America to build this fifth kingdom. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Now that happens to be 100 million people. And I have to let you know that some of these things which I say have to be speculation. We won't know until all are fulfilled exactly what they are. But is it possible that the number of the pure-blooded Israelites is about 100 million people at the culmination of this age? We know there are at least 600 to 700 million near whites, but because of the conquest of our people and our people traveling through so many other heathen nations, that there many of them have mixed blood. There may be 100 million that stand before him, stand before the Ancient of Days. The judgment was set and the books were opened. Then verse 11. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. And I must emphasize this, that Daniel sees the Ancient of Days with garments of white. He sees the fiery flame, which I believe is the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God, coming out of this fifth kingdom. But the fourth kingdom still exists, still there. He's still watching this horn of the great word which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. So the destruction of the fourth kingdom comes after the Ancient of Days is set up, but before the return of the Son of Man in the 13th verse. Verse 12. As concerning the rest of the beast, they have their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And we know from what we discussed last week in current history that if this little horn of Daniel 7 is papal Rome, its power is gone. It has been taken away. It disappeared at the very time that America came into being in the late 1700s. But the rest of the beast kingdoms, head of gold, which is Babylon, Medo-Persia, and the iron of Rome, still exists. That still is what we see as the great Antichrist world kingdom today. Then verse 13 comes, I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. People say, well, this can't be America, this Ancient of Days, because America is a very new kingdom, that it is something which has just come into being within the last 300 years. So how could America be the Ancient of Days? Well, turn with me to the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy. Way back as Israel came out of Egypt, we read this, in effect, in prophecy. Verse 7 through verse 9. Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. In the beginning, God apparently saved certain lands upon the earth for Israel. This North American continent was created at the same time as Africa and Asia and Europe, and yet it was almost uninhabited in 1492, 4,000 years after the story of Peleg, when the earth was divided, and over 2,500 years after the destruction of Babel and the scattering of the people. All of the rest of the continents of the world were substantially inhabited But when the Texan Israel came to America, they found a great, vast, vacant wilderness. Some people estimate a maximum of 900,000 people on this entire North American continent. That's less than live in 20 square miles here in Phoenix, Arizona today. If you took the city of Phoenix and spread it over North America, it would be pretty thinly populated, wouldn't it? And we also know from archaeological diggings and from the people themselves who lived here, we can tell the Indians of North America and the Mexicans are Asiatics. Their origin, their land, and their people is not North America. It is Asia. Turn over to Matthew 25. This is the judgment of the nations upon Jesus' return, starting in verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and He shall set the sheep, and we know from the Bible that Israel are called God's sheep, He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left, then shall the king, and notice here He is a king, then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Wouldn't you say the kingdom could be called the Ancient of Days? The ancient promise that God made to the house of Israel is a kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. In Daniel 2, it was the kingdom which destroyed the beast empires. In Daniel 7, it was the Ancient of Days which destroyed the beast empires before the return of the king. They must be synonymous. In other words, the stone kingdom must be the Ancient of Days. Both of them must be this glorious United States of America raised up as the fifth kingdom in the days of those kings. Daniel 7 and Daniel 2 exactly fit. Well, my time is gone for today, and I have some more in Daniel 7. To give a little more explanation about the entire beast system, but I think we'll finish that next week, God willing. Isn't it amazing what God has shown? I believe the book of Daniel is becoming an open book. The sealing of Daniel is over. Let's stand. Our Father and our God, we thank You for these words of comfort and hope and promise that this great and wonderful Christian kingdom Thou hast set up here in this wilderness shall not end, but will be used by Thee for the destruction of all the kingdoms of the earth to bring them under Thy sway and dominion. We thank You for it. We pray that You'll help us to stand in this day. Have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Amen.